Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Cal Grunwald, who supports Radio Liberty, but he's going to be talking this evening about what's happening on the financial markets here and throughout the world. I had a gentleman call me just today. He's a Hungarian. He came here 20 years ago, and his goal was to live in America and make money, and then eventually to go back to Hungary, where he came from, and buy a home and a farm and get married and settle down and live comfortably through the rest of his life. But as he told me today, he said, you know, the dollar has fallen so far here in America, it's lost half its value in relationship to the Hungarian currency. I would have a hard time buying a shack back there rather than a nice home I'd always planned. What can I do? And I tried to explain to him what happens to a country when their currency loses its value. And, of course, the problem is the average American has no idea what's going on because the Chinese, from which we import most of our products, certainly have tied their currency to ours. As our currency falls, theirs falls. And this is really happening as far as the Japanese and the other countries. They're doing everything they can to try to keep the price of products brought into America low so they can continue selling to us. Eventually, these countries, if they're going to maintain their own financial stability, are going to have to allow their currencies to rise, and with that will come runaway inflation here in the United States. Unfortunately, many people who do not understand what's going on, do not understand what happens when the politicians and when the leaders of the country corrupt their currency. Many people are going to come to a sad awakening one of these days, and they'll be like that Hungarian who suddenly finds out that he's worked his whole life for a dream, and that dream is not going to come to fruition. Well, there was an article this last couple of days in Forbes magazine, written again by Stephen Roach, who a few weeks ago, as the chief economist for Morgan Stanley, was saying that he feared that America was going to be approaching a financial Armageddon, a 90% chance of a financial Armageddon in the United States because of the policies of our government. A recent article in Forbes magazine was quoting from an article that will appear in Foreign Policy by Stephen Roach, saying that Alan Greenspan and the policies of the Federal Reserve System has brought not only America, but the entire world to the brink of disaster. And the longer we wait for the retrenchment and for take the difficult times and the recession and the liquidation of debt, why the more traumatic of what's about to occur will be. And as Stephen Roach, I think, is certainly looked upon as one of the smartest economists in this country. You have to get rid of the debt. Americans are living on debt. Americans are borrowing on their houses. People are buying the houses with nothing down and 1% interest for the first year. And it works fine for a time. But, of course, all of history has told us that there has been no instance where a nation has gone into a fiat money system where that nation has survived. Well, with us is Cal Grunwald. Cal, you know, you're watching, and I'm sure you're watching what's happening financially as closely as I am. What's your take on what's happening? Cal, are you there?
Yes, so can you hear me?
Yes, you can. You're coming through loud and clear. Why don't we just wait till we get through this break, and then we'll want you to share your thoughts with our listeners as we look at what was once the greatest economy in the world, and now a nation that was once the greatest lender in the world is now the world's greatest debtor nation of all time. Well, Cal, what's your take on what's going on?
Well, again, it's you kind of hit it on the head. when you are giving, of course, you have to give the big picture, and this is what people don't see. You are giving people the big picture, and if people know history, they'll know what's going to happen. And of course, never in our history has the dollar fallen, 50% in such a short time. And of course, it's done by design. The Fed's going to drop it another 20% as soon as possible, and there's not much left after that. People are trusting in a fickle system, in a fiat money system, as you mentioned. And I wanted to touch on some of that today or tonight as we talk. I've got some articles out of the 1933 New York Times. When Roosevelt confiscated gold, and what the banks did, what the government did at that time, and they're poised to do the same thing again to the unsuspecting public. And I think we should know, the public should know what's going to happen, what's around the corner. And if you know what's around the corner, you can prepare for it. Most 98% of the people in this country will get caught, with their money or their wealth behind somebody else's financial doors, not behind their own. And that's a sad state of affairs, but it's always been history. There's only going to be a few that will recognize and see the danger coming and be able to avoid it.
And I really think that's the great tragedy of our time, is that the average individual doesn't understand the monetary history of the world. They don't understand the central banking system, which has given the tremendous advantage to a very small group of very powerful men, the men who control the central banks of the world. And, of course, the Federal Reserve System, contrary to what everybody in the United States believes, is a privately owned banking system owned in large part by people of great wealth who manipulate the monetary system for their own profit. But even more than that, of course, and this is, I think, really what most observers of what's going on have missed, is the fact that behind these men is a spiritual force that is using the wealth and the military power of the United States to change the structure of the world, to create a world empire, and to bring all of the nations of the world under the control of this coming world government. That, of course, is the common denominator behind everything going on. But, of course, if you can control the money, you can accomplish that. And they've been working, since 1913 here in the United States, but really going back to the time of when America was first founded. And the first bank of the United States was established back in, I believe it was 1791, on the auspices of Alexander Hamilton, who was intent upon bringing America back under the control of Great Britain. We'll be right back with our special guest. Well, Kyle, why don't you go ahead and just pick up your ideas, because and I know you're keeping your ear to the ground, watching what's going on.
Yes, and I think it's very helpful for us to be able to look back in history. Some of the information that I'm offering, free of charge to anybody who asks, is a number of articles from the 1933 New York Times when Roosevelt confiscated gold, and what the surrounding events were after that, and what the bankers did, what they required the public to do. One of the things one of these articles from that 1933 New York Times was entitled Mutual Savings Bank Invoke a 60-Day Rule, Written Notice on Withdrawal Required. And I think it'd be pretty interesting just to read a couple short paragraphs here just to give the reader the idea what the banks will do again. And of course, I've got another document called the Emergency Banking Order, which we touched on last time, which was drafted in 1961 by Robert Anderson, who was the Secretary of the Treasury at the time. But basically, it covers banking regulations in times of war or national crisis. But in 1933, this article said, the heads of the New York City Mutual Savings Banks decided yesterday to require depositors to give written notice 60 days in advance of withdrawing funds from their accounts when they are permitted to reopen their doors at the end of the banking holiday. This is the third time that the savings banks have taken this action, the other instances having occurred in 1907 and during the World War. The measure was agreed upon unanimously by the presidents of the local institutions in order to protect the funds of all their depositors. The Dollar Savings Bank of 149th Street and 3rd Avenue, the Bronx, was the first institution to invoke the 60-day clause. This action was taken by the bank on Friday night, on the eve of the original New York State two-day banking holiday. And then later on it says the 60-day clause has in the past demonstrated its value in arresting a flood of unreasonable withdrawals by hysterical depositors during a critical financial period. And back then when Roosevelt declared that two-day banking holiday, he called all the gold in. He also raided, he closed the banks, and he raided everybody's safety deposit boxes. It's right there in black and white in this article. The banks have a plan. The government has a plan to protect, they said, you know, the wealth of depositors, but we all know it's their wealth. If you know, it's our wealth behind their doors, but it's, when it's behind their doors, when they close them, it becomes their wealth. So they're not interested to, you know, to protect depositors, because in 1929, when the stock market crashed, the banks had 21 cents on the dollar on deposits for withdrawals, but who got their money? Nobody. So that's their plan to protect themselves. And so I ask people, what is your plan to protect yourself, and what are you doing to ensure the financial security of your family and your loved ones? That's a question that everybody has to seriously ask themselves, especially in this day when the dollar has lost 50% of its value in the last 3 years. You've already been robbed of half your wealth if you've done nothing, you know, with your wealth in financial institutions.
And of course, the people who got into precious metals, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, have doubled the value of their investment, but it really hasn't actually doubled in value. It's simply that the dollar has gone down. So what you're doing when you're investing in precious metals is not trying to make money, although you might down the line, if gold and silver were to run. But the important thing you're doing is trying to actually ensure the value of your savings. And if you leave it in dollars, and the dollar depreciates, of course, why you completely lose that. And we've already lost 50% of the value of the dollar. And the average individual doesn't know. And they say, well, look, now look, my house has gone up so much in value. Your house hasn't gone up in value. It's simply a reflection, number one, of the fact that the dollar has decreased in value, and two, that we have a housing bubble. And according to Stephen Roach in the article, which will be forthcoming in Foreign Policy magazine, he believes that housing bubble is going to be destroyed or pop very, very soon. In fact, pointing out that places like here in California, the value of houses in many parts of this country, this state, has gone up almost 20 to 30% in one single year. That's not based on value, that's based upon speculation. And when the speculation stops, when the music stops playing, then, of course, there's going to be really very, very serious problems. But people really don't understand. Everything seems fine. Why should we worry? And yet, of course, we have to look back at history and find out what's happened in the past when there's been a financial crisis. And our plea to you is start thinking now what you can do. And there are lots of things you can do to protect yourself. But if you don't do it, why, I really believe you're going to end up like the fellow who called me today, and really so tragic, 20 years of work. And, of course, he said if I were to go home, I'd be hardly able to buy just a simple shack today. So half of the value of everything he's worked for has been destroyed in relationship to the currency of his home country. And this is just in the last couple of years. So go ahead, Cal.
Well, another thing that, you know, I was talking about this false system that people trust in, called our banking system, the financial system, and of course Wall Street is all hype, invest, make money. But when people put their wealth in the stock market, for instance, mutual funds is over half the money in the stock market. And, you know, mutual funds have done well in the past, and of course now they're artificially propping up the market, so it looks good. But mutual funds are actually very, very dangerous, because about 10 years ago, the mutual funds put in their prospectus that what Wall Street fears the most is the run on the mutual funds, because the money is just simply not there. It's just there. So what they've done to protect themselves is they put a clause in there that if you want your money, they only have about 3% of all the money on deposit for withdrawals, where they're required to have 7 or 8%, but they only have about 3%.
Now you're talking about the banks or about the mutual funds, okay.
They're required by law to have like 3% of their total deposits on reserve in cash, so that if people want cash, they can get it. but they only have about 3%. They're required to have about 7 or 8, but they only have 3.
The rest of the money then is invested in the stock market.
Well, yeah, they just, the mutual fund, of course, managers, average age 28 years old, they just invest in stocks and bonds and wherever they feel they can, you know, make the most money, they invest it. They speculate with people's money. And of course, this is what the banks do too. You know, you put $100,000 in the bank, you deposit the cash, and the bank loans out $98,000 of it. So there's only $2,000 there. I mean, that's people don't realize that. They think it's always going to be there, but that's not the case. So the mutual funds have put in a clause that if you want your money and you know they ran out of cash because there's a run, they can pay you in cash or kind. Now, kind, K-I-N-D, is any other kind of paper, whether it be stocks, bonds, T-bills, securities, any other kind of paper. And most of kind is stocks. So they can give you stocks in a company or companies for your money that you probably never even heard of. And for you to get your money out of those stocks, you have to personally find a buyer on the street. That's the reality of mutual funds, but people just, they don't know that.
Well, of course, you could always sell them to another broker, I'm sure. You could, you don't necessarily find a buyer on the street, but you would sell it to a brokerage house.
Yes, and if it is their prerogative whether they want to buy it or not.
Right.
If it's not a stock that they want to promote or pick up, they just say, well, sorry, go somewhere else. So, and annuities is another thing. You know, of course, the insurance companies are huge in this country, but annuities, of course, they've got you in there for seven to 10 years, and of course, if you get out a little bit, you get out earlier, you got a severe penalty. But annuity companies, if you want to get out, and I've had a lot of experience with this, you know, with my clients, they've got annuities, they want to cash them in. Annuity companies, they can legally play with your money and hold on to it for 6 months after you want it. There's nothing you can do about it. 6 months.
Well, of course, annuities are a great investment when you have a stable currency. When you have an unstable currency that's falling, your annuity is tied to a fixed amount of dollars, even though the dollar may be only worth 50 cents of what it was, or 40 cents of what it was, or, you know, 30 cents of what it was. And that, of course, seems to be the way we're going right now, why the dollar's lost 50% in value. And many of the very, very smart people are considering it's going to lose at least another 20 or more percent of its current value. So we're in a real problem, and the average individual has no idea what's going on, because things seem to be so good. Why should we be worried? And the reason we have to be worried is because America has become the greatest debtor nation in the world, and the average citizen doesn't have any savings. He's living on borrowed money. And of course, the borrower eventually becomes the servant of the lender. Go ahead.
Yes, and see, another thing that's so important to realize that people need to take a hard look at what are they doing to protect, you know, their own families. And it's amazing to me, as I talk to people, and I talk to people all over the country, it's amazing how many people are just duped by the system. They believe the big lie that the government is there, you know, to protect them and to watch out after them, and that, you know, the banks, you know, our currency could never fail. The banks are going to close their doors. You know, nothing bad is ever going to happen here. Just like, you know, the Jews in World War II, they didn't believe it could happen. You know, Auschwitz and the Holocaust, but it did, and we're going to see that again happen here. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but you know, it's just, as you said, Dr. Stan. You know, it's all done by design. You know, the people are feds behind it, and they're going to fail the dollar, and it's just a matter of a very, very short time. We can be in a dollar crisis.
When we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Cal Grunewald, who is a supporter of Radio Liberty. But I want you to get his message. I hope many of you will begin making preparations to protect yourself and your family, because, believe me, I believe that very difficult times lie ahead. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is called Grunwald. We're talking about, of course, what's happened to financial situations in the past. Those of you who have not yet read my September and October newsletters, let me suggest you get those. They're up on the Internet. You can read them there. Or if you'd like a copy of either the September or the October newsletter, we'll send you one or the other. The September newsletter tells you what Alan Greenspan really believes, what Warren Buffett is doing to protect the savings of the people who've invested in Berkshire Hathaway. And, of course, Warren Buffett, I believe, is the greatest investor of modern times. The September newsletter gives you the history of banking, now both in England and here in the United States, and the part that the central banks have played. The idea of a central bank beginning back in the 1700s and, of course, carried right through to today. And as Thomas Jefferson said, you know, this bank will eventually control our people and will destroy the value of our children and grandchildren. So, Pascal, why don't you go ahead and pick up the story from there?
Yes. Another thing that I would like to do at this point, maybe just give out my phone number, because I've got a couple documents to offer. One of them is...
Well, let's go ahead and put your telephone number off when we have all of the stations listening. As soon as we come back. So why don't you go ahead and just cover what's your impression of what's happening now, and as soon as we get back, we'll get your telephone number on.
Well, again, what I see is that, as I like to reiterate, but we're poised on kind of an apex here. The government and the banking system have their plan. I mean, it's obvious what they're going to do. I mean, we've seen Argentina as a very, very real recent example of what the government and the banks have done to protect themselves. They just shut their doors. And this document that I'm offering, one of them is called the Emergency Banking Order, which I referred to last time. It's in another package of information that I'm going to be sending, but basically it was drafted in 1961 by Robert Anderson, who was the Secretary of the Treasury at the time. But it allows the government allows the banking institutions to close their doors in the case of if we're at war with somebody or a national emergency, and the only money that they're going to give to people, you know, of their own money, is for expenses or reconstruction costs vital to the war effort, or two, essential living costs, three, taxes, or four, payrolls, but it all has to be documented what you want it for. And so this is what they're poised to do. This is the government's plan. This is the bank's plan, because they're in control of, you know, Americans' wealth. They have it. You know, Americans they're just foolish in that regard, because they trust the institutions, you know, with their wealth. So this document is free to anybody who asks for it. And it pretty much lays out, it's only three pages, very, very, you know, simply written, but it's just there in black and white what the government and the banks plan to do when the time comes. And we always know that the bank is, you know, the government and the banks are three steps ahead of the public. So most of the public are going to get caught flat-footed, and they'll never know what happened until after it's in place.
Okay, well, I think that certainly we have to learn from the past. We have to learn that they've been planning exactly what's coming down the line for a long time. This bank emergency bank law came out, what, in 1960?
1961. It was never put in place, but it was drafted. It's like an executive order.
All right, hold that thought. We'll just be back in just a moment here with Cal Grunwald talking about what's happening financially. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald, and of course, Cal was talking about the emergency banking order that came out in 1961 by the Secretary of the Treasury at that time, or was he the head of the Federal Reserve?
No, he was the Secretary of the Treasury.
Secretary of the Treasury, it was Anderson, and of course he basically laid out a plan by which, of course, they could close the banks, and certainly they could seize the wealth of the people of this country in case of a banking crisis. Now, why would they come up with something like that? Well, I really believe that everything that's happening is long range. I believe the war we're entering, I believe World War III, that we are entering, and we have entered now. It was planned long ago. We know that well over a decade ago, the plans were made by the Pentagon for the war with Iraq and with Syria and with the coming war with Iran. All of these were laid out. In fact, it's described in a wonderful book written by General Clark, and he tells there how he talked to the people, the Pentagon, I guess this was about 2001 or 2002, and one of his people there told him that there was this long-range Pentagon plan to drain the swamp in the Middle East. In other words, take out all of the countries there. So I believe, although that was 10-year planning for what was happening today, I believe that the coming banking crisis was called for and was planned a long time ago. Cal, would you like to get your telephone number out so if people would like to get copies of that emergency banking order and all those other things that you do offer that they can get them from you?
Yes, along with that, emergency banking order are the articles from the 1933 New York Times. That, you know, I read portions of one of them. And also there's an article on the Fort Knox Gold. It's not there either anymore. Johnson got rid of that. I can tell that story a little bit later. Then I have a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. And this, people should be very aware of what's going on there, because if you're considering gold and silver, you should know what these companies are going to try to do to you if they get you on the phone. So my phone number is 717-648-2682. That's 717-648-2682, and then I'll be glad to send you my papers at no obligation, no charge. For your reading, they're very educational. They'll open your eyes a great deal to a lot of things that are going on. So I'll send that out. 717-648-2682.
I'll write a telephone number if you'd like to call, Cal, or you have any comments about what we're talking about, and that is the financial situation of the United States today, the greatest debtor nation of all time. OI, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And, of course, the few of the commentators who are writing about what's going on are being quite objective, but most of what you're reading is designed to placate you and make you feel that everything's going to be just fine. A recent article by a man named Laffer, for whom I think the Laffer Curve or Laffer Philosophy came from, in the Wall Street Journal, talked about the falling dollar. And he said, oh, yes, the dollar's falling, but the dollar's not going to fall to nothing. The dollar's going to fall until such time as the dollar becomes competitive. And once then it's competitive, well, we'll be able to begin selling our products. The factories will open in America. Our manufacturing will boom. And we'll have a good economy again. Of course, there's two problems with this idea. First of all, the dollar will not fall to nothing, and I agree with him totally. The dollar will not fall to nothing. It could fall to a fraction of a cent, as it has in Turkey recently, where they redeemed their money. They just took a million off of the of every lira, and it used to be a million lira, while you could get a good meal, and now you can get a good meal for one lira. That's what's actually happened. You see, they've actually inflated their money so far that it lost, it came to have about a millionth of the value it had in years past. The dollar will not fall to nothing, I can guarantee that, but it could fall very, very, very far. And the second thing is, it would be great to feel that once we had dropped the value of the dollar so our goods would be competitive, then our factories would boom again. The trouble is, the factories that are going to boom are the factories that are in China, the factories that are in Mexico, the factories that are in Thailand, the factories that are in Pakistan, because we've had American factories leave America. We have lost our industrial base. So many of our car manufacturing facilities have moved offshore. Our steel has moved offshore. Our shipbuilding has moved offshore. Our furniture manufacturing has moved offshore. And even, actually, for the first time in the last couple of months, we were importing more food than we were exporting. So the idea our factories are going to boom, they will, but not the factories in America, because we don't have the great manufacturing capacity we've had in the past. We'll be right back here with Cal Grunwald talking about what's going on. Look forward to your call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald, and we're, of course, talking about what's happening to this country financially. And, of course, it's one of the great tragedies that you're not going to get the truth from the Wall Street Journal, which is simply one of the two arms of the establishment. They have the liberal publications, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and similar publications. And then, of course, they have the conservative publications, like the Wall Street Journal. But both of them are giving you the establishment position, giving you the impression you're getting the truth, whereas, in fact, they're simply lulling you to sleep. So, with that, go ahead and pick up the story there, Cal.
Well, another thing, too, is I was reading an article out of the Chicago Tribune, which is not very good either, but it was telling in there how it says Bush plans to save the pensions in this country, and of course the pension funds in this country are underfunded by $450 billion. And, you know, I believe the figure is at least twice that. I'm sure you do too, but, you know, these, again, it's just promises to pay. You know, the people, you know, work at these companies faithfully for years. They put their money in what they think is a pension fund. But then the pension fund goes out, you know, into the stock market. You know, of course, then people have lost tremendous amounts of money, so companies and organizations, corporations, and the money is simply not there, just like Social Security. You know, there is no money, as you know, in the Social Security fund. It's just a funnel. You know, and as Americans get older, you know, the baby boomers reach retirement age, within 5-6 years there won't be anything there even through the funnel. So all these are just promises to pay, and the pension funds are in very, very serious place right now. They're ready to default. Many of them already have. But again, Americans just seem to be lulled asleep by, you know, these promises to pay. They think that, you know, the big brother government is gonna protect them, but they're not. So that's why I encourage people, you know, to consider taking some of their wealth and putting it into gold and silver, because that's real money. You know, gold and silver, you know, the Lord said many years ago, they're real money.
Well,
that's why they have survived through the centuries and through the ages as money, because the Lord put a value on both of them.
Well, I think your point about the pension funds, the corporate pension funds, is really an excellent one. And so many of the corporate pension funds now are beginning to cut back on the promises that they made for health care, for retirees. But even more amazing is the fact that the Pension Guarantee Fund, and a branch of the federal government, is going to have to begin picking up many of these underfunded pension funds. They're talking about the fact it may cost as much as $1 trillion to fund these pension funds. And where's the money coming from? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. And if you have a question out there for Cal about what's going on financially, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, one of the big problems Cal was just bringing up is this matter of the corporate pension funds. And so many of the corporate pension funds, the United Airlines is an example, is grossly underfunded. There's just no way that United Airlines is going to have the money if it's just trying to get out of bankruptcy. So they can't fund the corporate pension fund. And, of course, they lost a lot of money in the stock market. And people who want to retire are having real problems. So the Guarantee Pension Fund, which is a branch of the United States government, and all the corporations were supposed to be paying money into that. So if one company got into problems with its pension fund, then, of course, the Guaranteed Pension Benefit Fund could come in and pick that up. But what happens if dozens of corporations get into trouble? Why, of course, there just isn't any money there. In fact, the Guaranteed Pension Benefit Fund is now about, I think, $26 billion in debt. And they're talking about, as all of these corporate pension funds get into more and more problems, they're talking about it'll take probably close to $1 trillion to bail that out. Now, the federal government has accepted that as a responsibility. They're going to have to, of course, to pay for that. Where's the money come from? Well, since we've cut taxes, it's not going to come from taxes. And the only way they're going to be able to get that money will be to borrow it from foreign countries, from foreign individuals, or certainly to print more money and inflate the value of the money supply and effectively dilute the currency and devalue it even more. So there are so many problems that face us today, and there is really no way out. You cannot live on debt. And this is what we've been doing for too long. We should have let the debt contract, you know, a decade ago. And had we done that, we wouldn't be in the situation we are today. The Lord talked about how every 50 years you ought to forgive all debts and start in all over again. That was the idea of the Jubilee year. And the Lord, I think, was a lot smarter than the people who are running our central bank today. And we should have done what needed to back in the 1980s, and we would have been going, and we would have been expanding, and our economy would have been sound, and we would not be a great debtor nation. But today we are a debtor nation. There's no way we're ever going to be able to pay off the almost $8 trillion that we owe. It's about 7.3 or 7.4 trillion, but by September or October of this year, we'll be up to $8 trillion, and heaven knows where we'll be at this time next year. And there's no instance in all history where a nation has gone further and further into debt where that nation has survived as a sovereign nation. Well, we have a caller, and of course, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Hi, Tony. Tony is calling from SoCal. How are you doing, Tony?
Oh, pretty good, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question?
Well, you're just mentioning the Jubilee year and about
how
50 years debts were supposed to be forgiven.
Right.
Well, do you know how that fits into the Liberty Bell cracking?
Well, you tell us.
Oh, maybe you don't know about that. Well, they had declared a Jubilee year. It was supposed to be 1800, I believe it was, and because that was the 50th year. And there was a national assembly, you know, in the state houses and all that, and I don't know all the exact details, but I remember reading about it one time, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And anyway, they refused to declare the Jubilee and forgive the debts and return the land and all that, and that's when the Liberty Bell cracked.
All right, fine. I've never heard that story before, Johnny. It's a great story, and thank you very much for sharing it with us. Anything else you'd like to bring up?
Well, I do agree with that. I think it was in a David Barton book, by the way.
Could very well be.
It's not one of those big things, you know.
Okay. Well, I mean, certainly the Lord prescribed this, you know, in the Old Testament. And every 50 years, you would, of course, if you had a slave, well, you'd free the slave. Every 50 years, you'd forgive the debts, and then your economy could start growing again. You know, there's something called, I think it's called the Kondraty cycle. This was a Russian economist.
A 500-year cycle?
No, it was a 50-year cycle. Basically, he was actually employed by Lenin to find out when capitalism was going to collapse. That was his purpose, because Lenin believed the capitalist system would fail, and of course the economists went back and followed the cycles of the capitalist system and pointed out that about every 50 years they would have a crisis, and then they would liquidate their debt and they would start it all over again and get stronger. And with each cycle they got stronger, and of course Lenin was furious with them, and my understanding is he sent them off to Siberia because he didn't like the results of what the economists found. But this really is true. And the capitalist system is a wonderful system if given the opportunity to function on its own. But unfortunately, when you have the interference of central banks and central bankers who have their own agenda, why you get into the tragic situation we are today, where there is, of course, no way out other than literally a collapse of the dollar, the collapse of the economy, and then you start all over again. The question is, will there be any freedom afterwards? And, of course, I believe that this whole crisis situation is being specifically engineered to force America, indeed the whole world, into a cashless society under the control of a new ruling elite. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, that's absolutely true. And, in fact, as I mentioned several shows ago, one of my clients is a banker in West Virginia, and he was saying that one of the, you know, the top people from, you know, the organization came down and gave them a speech saying basically the banks now are going to accelerate phasing out cash. So when you phase out cash, you've got to phase something else in, and you're going to be phasing in plastic or the ration card or the chip or whatever. So it's coming very fast. You can see it, and just most people are using the plastic anyway, so they won't know the difference, but we can see it coming, and it's in the process.
All right. Anything else, Tony?
I agree with both of you. In fact, I sent for Cal's papers, and I highly recommend him. I think he has a lot of good insights there about what people should be buying and shouldn't buy. But after the continental dollar collapsed in the colonial days, it was kind of the same thing as far as the currency, or that continental went to like zero. And there was a general malaise and feeling of being destitute and everything else. But what happened was that the individual people started to reuse gold and silver as currency, and what resulted was really nothing short of an economic miracle there for a time being. And I would make the argument that if one were truly patriotic, and one does believe that there will be a day that the dollar dies, that a person should have some amount of small currency. I mean, real money, like silver coins, or even gold coins, and even like 1/10 ounce or whatever, to be able to do some sort of bartering and trading with, if and when that does happen. I was wondering what Cal thinks, and I'll listen on the air. Thank you.
Well, again, that's exactly what I am recommending in my paper for people. It's in a very, very practical approach. You don't get into gold and silver to make money. You get into preserve what you have and have something to barter with, especially with, what they call junk silver, or 90%. You know, these are the dimes, quarters, and halves that were minted prior to 1965 in this country when they were 90% silver. They had some real value. After that, they went to 40%, and then, it's just, a copper sandwich, and now they're kind of a zinc chromium, totally worthless as a metal. So I recommend, a bag of 90% silver per household. That's 55 pounds of quarters and dimes and half dollars, and that'll take you a long time as far as a barter situation. So it's a very practical, down-to-earth approach, and how silver and gold can be real money. Of course they are, but once our dollar collapses, and that's going to be the money of the remnant, so to speak, the people who are able to see the danger coming and do something about it ahead of time. And
right.
Most people, of course, they won't be able to see it coming. They won't be able to do anything about it.
Well, now, are gold and silver, are the 90% silver coins still readily available?
Yes. When you say readily, I guess there is an availability problem now. 3-4 months ago, there wasn't. Gold went up to 456. Now it's come back again. After the first of the year, what happened was that, as I talked to my suppliers, people took profits. They saw the tremendous gains, and they, waited till after the first of the year for the capital gains sake. And they took profits, and then, gold and silver went down again. Now they're coming back up. And, so, it's really a buying opportunity. But the problem is, so many people bought, and now they're sitting on what they bought. It's a very, very tight time now as far as getting product. One of my suppliers, does not have a bag of 90% silver. My other two, they have some, but not the number that they had before. So it is a problem, and if people want to take advantage of the gold and silver being down again, now is the time to do it, because there's a day coming very shortly, then when people are going to want to buy gold and silver, but they're not going to be able to, and that's going to, of course, drive the price up when they become very, very scarce, and that's not the time to be buying.
All right, fine. We've got Bill on the line from Florida. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Oh, fair, Doctor. Wanted to ask Hal a quick question. If you have some money in mutual funds and some stocks and whatever, what's his recommendation as far as should you keep any of it? Should you keep so much cash, in greenbacks, or put it into euros, or invested into gold and silver, like gold eagles and silver eagles and things like that, or the junk silver?
Good question, Bill. First of all, I would never recommend putting it in euros, because you have to be over there to spend them, and even though the currency, it's the premier currency in the world right now, you can't use them over here unless you intend to move over there. But the second part to that is, yes, if you have some discretionary money that's in paper or electronic form, you should, turn whatever you don't want to lose into gold and silver and have it with you. Now, I certainly do recommend having a cash cushion, so to speak, while the dollar is good, you don't want to just, be completely without cash. So whatever you feel comfortable with, knowing what the dollar is, doing, if you have a, sufficient income, if you're retired or whatever, you have to determine that. I would never dictate that or try to. It's got to be according to your own concern level and conscience. So have your cash cushion, but whatever you don't want to lose, put it into gold and silver. But I wouldn't leave any money in the market in mutual funds, because it's just a trap.
I think the one thing, I'm not a financial advisor, Bill, but you could get some money into, say, silver and gold stocks. They may do very well. But then certainly you want to have something tangible as well.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it. If you put it in the gold or silver stocks are stocks, and if, no telling what might happen to those, and if you have it in hand, well, then you've got it. You don't have to worry about it. What do you think that the government might do? Say when the value of the dollar gets down to, like the example Dr. Stan used, the million Turkish dollars down to one Turkish dollar. You think they're going to try and confiscate the gold again? Or?
Well, I do, simply because the government is ornery and oppressive, and they're not going to change their colors at the last minute and let people have, real money. So, but on the other hand, the whole tenor of the country, the mindset of the country is a lot different than it was in 33. Most people are, the ones who have the gold and silver are going to be resistant. They're not going to turn it in. So we're going to have a big confrontation between the government and those who have real money in their hands. So it's not going to be a good situation, but it's better to have gold and silver in your hand. At least you've got a chance to survive. And if you leave the money in their financial institutions, they can just come and shut their doors and pick it off very easily.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much, Bill. And let's go to Ken, who's calling from Idaho. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you, Dr. Stan?
Doing fine.
I wanted to
What part of Idaho are you from?
Oh, at Post Falls.
Okay, fine.
I know John Loeffler.
Oh, right. He's a good friend.
Yeah. I wanted to comment on the national debt. It seems sometimes like it's so dire, but according to, I think, Ron Hubbard and other economists, they say that right now it's only like 4.5% of the GDP, and within 5 years they can maybe bring that down to 2.5% GDP.
I see. So you think that there's really nothing to worry about then?
Oh, no, I'm concerned about the trends. But we have a GDP that's like $11 trillion in 1 year, in spite of the fact we've lost a lot of our factories.
But what can you define the GDP? What is the GDP?
Well, it's the all the goods and services that are produced in this country in 1 year.
But a lot of it is not goods, but a lot of it is services. In other words, your people are providing services for other people. Do you think that's a valid basis? Services, one person providing services for another, is a valid basis upon which a national debt that is owed to other countries can be based?
Well, I think it is if it's something that people desire. Now, some of the stuff that the bureaucrats do, you can argue that that's probably not something that has much value. But we'll say that say a certain part of that GDP is not valid, and you subtract that and use a range.
I would think that the valid thing would be how much are we actually producing today. Now, the major things we're producing today are war goods. We're producing planes that we can sell to other countries, but very, very soon, I fear that many of these other countries are going to be producing the planes. It's only a matter of time before the Chinese are going to begin engineering planes, our planes. So basically, the things that we're producing in America today, we've shifted most of our industries offshore. And of course, the major things are war production and planes. That is what we're producing today. And what else are we producing that can't be produced elsewhere in the world?
Well, there's a lot of smaller factories that are producing. Of course, I agree with you. The big corporations have moved offshore there.
And of course, a lot of these small corporations are really feeling the pressure. I know I have friends up in the Spokane area that, are into machine making and die making. And they can make them cheaper over in China. In fact, they'd almost give them away in China simply to destroy the competitive edge we have here. I've heard that figure, that GDP, all the time, and I think that that's economic talk to confuse us. I don't think you can base the economy of a nation and the wealth of a nation on services. It's got to be production. And what is the wealth? The wealth is our mining. Well, we've pretty well shut down on mining. The wealth is, of course, certainly on our manufacturing, and we're shutting down on manufacturing. And all the services in the world aren't going to get us out of the mess we're in. I'm going to ask Cal, what do you think about this idea that the debt really doesn't matter? The economists keep telling that. Is that really true?
Well, I think the debt does matter, and I don't think we even know the tip of the iceberg as far as how badly we're in debt and how bad a financial condition that the country's in. I don't think we even know a little bit of it.
Okay, Ken, why don't you hang on? We'll just let you finish off your thoughts when we get back here, okay?
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald. And Ken, do you have a thought that you'd, any other thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I wanted to mention one other thing. When I was at the university in the early 50s, I was concerned about the national debt. And so I asked the professor, and he happened to be had worked in the Roosevelt administration. And he was a likable guy, but of course he's liberal, but he said, I wouldn't worry about that. He said, what we'll do, we'll inflate it out, we'll monetize it. And, of course, that's exactly what they've been doing to pay some of it. And, of course, I don't agree with that, but I'm just saying that way back then they had it planned on how they were going to deal with some of it. They just monetize it, you know.
Well, in the old days, they used to say, we don't have to worry about the national debt because we owe it to ourselves.
Right.
The trouble is that's no longer true. We owe about $2.5 trillion to other countries, and where are we going to get the money?
Well, we still have a pretty high productivity, but it's true we have lost a lot. I agree with you on that.
In fact, you know, China is rapidly catching up with our productivity. That's the thing. China's about the fifth major producer in the world today. And I would say give it another 5 years and they will be the greatest producer in the entire world, and they'll be the greatest producer in history. There's no way we can compete with them when they're paying $75 a month in wages.
I think we should, one thing they should be doing is honoring our patents. If they send anything over here that where they're violating patents, I think we should dump that at the port where it comes in.
But you see, the real purpose behind the people who control our country is to build up the economy of China and weaken America. And as it says in point 10 of the Earth Charter, the redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And the secret that they don't let the American people want to know is that the rulers of this country have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is this globalist dream. And unless, of course, we have people in positions of power who are patriots, then, of course, we will lose our productivity, we will lose our nation.
Well, I certainly agree with that. If more people knew a little bit about the Constitution, I think we'd be better off.
Well, I hope you'll set up an Institute of the Constitution up there in your area. Anyway, thanks so much for calling, Ken.
Thank you.
Well, Ken, pardon me, Cal, what are your parting thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Well, again, we would like to encourage everybody to take a good hard look at their own lives, their own personal financial lives, and what is your plan for the future for you and your family? How are you protecting your wealth? What are you doing? What are you doing right now, and what do you plan to do to preserve what you do have? And how are you going to avoid what the government has planned, you know, for all of us?
And I think that's a very good point. Hold that thought for just a minute, and we'll want you to give your number out. Well, our guest this evening has been Cal Grunwald. Cal, you want to get your telephone number out one more time for our listeners?
Yes, it's 717-648-2682. That's 717-648-2682. And I'll be glad to send you my material on the gold and the scams in the coin industry, the emergency banking order, that package of information. It's very informative, and it's no obligation. I'm not high pressure, and anything like that, I'd be glad to talk with you as long as you want me to, and you know, without any high pressure tactics, and it's just all there. I used to be a teacher, so I do everything through education. You can have the information just by calling 717-648-2682.
All right, thanks very much for being with us again tonight, Cal. Bye bye. Okay, fine. Well, that's been Cal Grunwald, and of course, Cal is with us about once a month, and we always enjoy going over the things we talked about tonight. Whatever you do, make preparations. Do something to protect your wealth and protect your family. Well, this is the time, of course, we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you agree there's a problem and you agree that Radio Liberty has some of the answers, why, we hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And so, if you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our September or October newsletter, which deal with finance, why, we'd be glad to send you one. We hope, of course, many of you want to subscribe to the newsletter and get it on a monthly basis, because we put a great deal of time and effort into trying to keep you abreast of what's really going on in the world today. And then, of course, if you'd like more information on finances, why, we carry a number of books. One of them is The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island is the story of the Federal Reserve System and how they have created a debt-backed currency that has no value behind it at all. And, of course, it is simply a house of cards built upon a foundation that is indeed beginning to quake today. And then, of course, we carry The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, a book by Professor Sutton. And then, of course, his book, Gold for Survival. And then, of course, the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France, the story of what happened in France back in 1789 when they did exactly what we are doing here in the United States today. That's Fiat Money Inflation in France, and then a video called Phenomenon, the Monopoly Men. That's Phenomenon, the Monopoly Men. And this will give you a solid understanding of what's happening today and then perhaps help you to plan for your future. Now, remember, I'm not an economic advisor at all. I'm simply an observer of what's going on. I've been watching this for over 42 years now, and I hope I've learned a little something from those years, and I'd like to share those thoughts with you, and that's why we do what we do 5 hours a day here at Radio Liberty. And then, of course, if you're interested in understanding the forces working behind the scenes, why, you should get my Secret Government 4-tape set, or the Secret Society's 4-tape set, or we have something called the Secret Government Special, which is 2 4-tape sets and 2 videos put together by Bill Snebelin, who was in the upper echelons of the satanic movement and for a number of years. There are two-step videos that you get, plus the 2 4-tape sets. Then, of course, we encourage people to get the videos Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2, which give you an understanding of the spiritual aspect of what's going on today. That's Megiddo 1, 2.25 hours of fascinating video, and then Megiddo 2, which once again is 3 hours that give you the story from the Garden of Eden right up to today and the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. If you have not yet seen They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, why, you need to get it at the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version of that video. And then, of course, we ask you, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America and pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Thursday night, when we'll be back with you once again, and may the Lord be with you. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line right now Corey Brackett. Hi, Corey. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm doing great. It's good to be here.
All right, fine. Well, of course, Corey has an amazing story to tell, and she's put out a wonderful video which we carry called Sweet Misery. And we're going to be talking this evening about the poisoning of the American people, and you've heard us talk a great deal in the recent weeks about the effect of fluoride on the brain and on the reproductive system and really on the endocrine system, and you've heard us talk about the toxic effects of mercury on the brain and its relationship to Alzheimer's disease and the elderly and its relationship to autism and to attention deficit disorders and attention hyperactivity disorders in the children. But we're going to be talking about another poison that has been unleashed on our public, our unsuspecting public, by that great paragon of virtue, the man who is sending our boys over to Iraq to fight and bleed and suffer and die without adequate equipment, with no armor on many of the Humvees. Many of them don't even have, either night vision equipment or, the armor that they need to protect their own bodies. That man was Donald Rumsfeld. But in 1980, he was the CEO of J.D. Searle & Company, and he was the man who engineered getting his man into the FDA to legalize NutraSweet or aspartame, which at that time had been kept out off the market for some 17 years by FDA officials who realized that this is a poison. It's made up of methanol, which is a poison, aspartic acid, which is a poison, and phenylalanine, which is a poison. You mix them together, they're sweet, and you give them to people, and you get all sorts of terrible things happening to them. And, well, Corey is certainly a living testimony of that. Corey, why don't you tell our listeners what happened to you?
Well, I used to actually love the stuff for quite a while. For 20 years, I used to drink about 6 to 10 cans of diet soda a day. And then a few years ago, I started experiencing tingling in my hands and feet. And that was the first sign that something was wrong. And I had an MRI, which showed lesions on my brain. And I got a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis from that. Since I've been off and cleansed my body and gotten more nutritional in my approach, I've had significant improvement in that lesion, and it's all but disappeared.
All right, fine. And, of course, you've done a lot of research into the background, MS, and certainly not all cases related to aspartame. But what did you find out when you did begin to research the origins of MS?
Well, it amazed me that how often aspartame was associated with multiple sclerosis in my studies, which eventually led me to go on a quest across the country where I spoke with various doctors and lawyers and activists and other survivors about this issue, and that's what resulted in the documentary Sweet Misery, A Poisoned World.
All right, and fine, and we'll be talking more about our video, we'll be talking more about Corey's travels, we'll be talking more about this poison that they're using to poison the minds of our children and of our adults and destroy the health of the American people. And the thing is, they know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Corey Brackett. And Corey, how long have you been in this battle trying to educate people about the dangers of aspartame and NutraSweet? And of course, MSG is a kissing cousin to this. This is another one of the excitotoxins that, of course, it really destroys brain cells. These are known, and they've been known for a long time, to produce brain lesions. And yet, of course, they don't tell the American people.
Exactly. Dr. John Olney was doing experiments with MSG, which he had found to cause holes in the brains of rats. And he and attorney Jim Turner were successfully got MSG out of baby food. And as he was doing these studies, his hypothesis was that 95% of mental illness, much of which, 95% of which is of unknown origin, that much of this is from environmental insults. And he started noticing when he was experimenting with different environmental factors that aspartame was behaving in a very similar way to MSG. And that was the beginning of the discovery to the public that there was a problem.
But the public really never has found out about the dangers of aspartame because they certainly, first of all, Searle and then Monsanto, and now there's an organized effort to conceal the truth about this poison which is in so many of our diet drinks and so many of our foods, and which is used as an artificial sweetener by people all across America today.
Unfortunately, there's been a very strong PR campaign to present aspartame as a safe substance. One of the things that they often say is that there's more methanol in fruits, for example, than in aspartame, which they neglect to tell you that there's more that there's ethanol in fruits, first of all, and that counteracts the methanol there, and also that methanol in fruits binds to something known as pectin. And humans lack the enzyme to separate methanol from the pectin, and so therefore it passes through the body and virtually no harm is done. But in aspartame, it's free methyl alcohol, so there is a problem.
And of course, methanol is what people drink. They used to drink this for a high, and they would go blind from it because it's so toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And they put this into a substance we call NutraSweet, which is readily broken down into methanol and aspartic acid and phenylalanine. Of course, the methanol breaks down into formaldehyde, but it is a neurotoxin, and yet people all across America are using it on a regular basis, and nobody's telling them the truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett. So, Corey, would you like to sort of list some of the complications that some of the pharmacological effects, some of the dangers that the citizens of America face when they use NutraSweet or NutraSweet products?
Sure. They run the gamut from personality changes, thinking in a fog, to arthritis, depression, even as extreme as death. There have been chest pains associated with it, excessive thirst, hearing loss, heart palpitations, hives. There's so many different symptoms associated with this, chronic fatigue, different disorders such as Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, Huntington's, lupus, fibromyalgia. Dealing with neurological disorders, there's so many things that can occur because you're dealing with the brain, which in essence deals with the entire body, and also the endocrine system, which is a pretty major thing, too.
All right, fine. I think people have to understand that one of the causes of the epidemic of obesity we're seeing today is nothing other than aspartame and NutraSweet. So many people who are overweight think that if they simply drink Diet Cola and diet sodas, that these don't contain sugar, so they're going to lose weight. And instead of losing weight, they put on more and more weight. What's your take on the relationship between the morbid obesity, the epidemic of morbid obesity we're seeing today, and the use of aspartame and NutraSweet products?
Well, on a personal level, when I stopped consuming aspartame-containing products, I lost 70 pounds. Whereas before, I would try everything to lose weight, and I couldn't seem to shed the pounds.
I think that the thing that people have to know, wasn't it Dr. Olney who did the experiments with rats and found that when he fed them products laced with NutraSweet, they developed actual pathological lesions in their brains, and then they developed this pathological obesity, this desire to eat, and the rats that were fed aspartame all became obese. Wasn't that Dr. Olney's work?
Yes, it was.
All right, so there's a definite relationship between pathological obesity and aspartame. And when you hear all the talk about, oh, it's the Colonel's fault, oh, it's the McDonald's fault, or it's Wendy's fault, don't you believe it for a minute. If you know somebody who's morbidly obese, ask them if they're drinking Diet Cokes and diet drinks. And if they are, get them off of them. And understand that this actually produces a lesion in the brains of animals. Is there any evidence that it actually produces lesions in the human brain?
From what I know, that the most of the studies have been on the brains of mice and rats.
And yet, of course, in your own MRI, there were lesions in your brain when you were taking the aspartame that went away after you got off of it, weren't there?
Right. One thing that I've learned to do very strongly is to listen to my body first and foremost as the primary authority over my own physical condition, because it often has been telling me things recently that more traditional allopathic medicine has not necessarily been aware of and pointed me in the right direction.
Well, now, what's the relationship between aspartame and sugar and sugar diabetes?
Oh, aspartame, from what I understand, changes the, really creates abnormalities in blood sugar levels, and so it can affect people with diabetes, ironically, even though it's foisted upon diabetics as a safe substitute. There's actually a safe herb called stevia that is safe for diabetics, has no calories, and it's sweet like sugar, and that's a natural herbal product.
All right, and doesn't certainly using aspartame complicate the management of diabetes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked with quite a few people whose diabetes has gotten out of control while they're using aspartame products, and it starts to go back into control once they're off of it.
And Dr. Roberts, who has written the classic book on aspartame, it's called Aspartame Disease, The Forgotten Epidemic. Now, I want you to know this book is over 1,000 pages. We actually carry the book. But Dr. Roberts is a diabetic specialist. He deals with diabetes. And he has tried to, of course, get the Diabetic Association to stop advocating the use of NutraSweet and aspartame for the diabetic patients, because it will precipitate diabetes in some people, and then of course it will make it almost impossible to manage diabetes. Yet the Diabetic Association has steadfastly refused to discontinue the advocating NutraSweet. As a matter of fact, Dr. Roberts actually quit the Diabetic Association, even though he was a diabetic specialist, because what they were doing was actually harming their patients, the patients of America, the diabetics of America, by failing to warn that of the danger of aspartame and NutraSweet. So this is a real problem that most people are unaware of. Now, Corey, what about the problems with pregnancy? What about what happens to women, in the childbearing time of life when they're actually taking aspartame, NutraSweet?
Aspartame can be actually a lot more problematic to the fetus, especially. So pregnant women really should avoid aspartame-containing products.
Why is that? What is the effect on the fetus of aspartame?
Well, especially with phenylalanine, which is one of the breakdown products of aspartame, it can really create a lot more problems for what's known as PKU carriers. Phenylketonuria is an issue where people cannot absorb or metabolize the phenylalanine in their system. And there are plenty of people out there who are carriers for that disorder, which is genetic, but they don't know that they're carriers. And when women are pregnant who are PKU carriers, their fetus is, I think, twice as affected as a regular fetus. But even a regular fetus is much more affected because their bodies are obviously so small, and it can be absorbed through the placenta. As I had mentioned before, MSG and aspartame react similarly, and there was a study where pregnant animals were fed MSG and their offspring had impaired brain function and they never quite recovered from it.
And of course the fear is that this will be the same thing will happen with children whose mothers drink NutraSweet, drink Diet Cokes, things of that sort, that this will play out and will damage the brains of their own children. So this is a dangerous thing, and yet, of course, the tragedy is that many doctors have been given free coupons for this product to give to women who are pregnant, so they'll drink it, and they'll drink the diet drink so they won't get fat. Well, maybe they'll probably not only get fat, but also it'll damage their children. And the last thing any mother would want to do would be to damage her child. Yet she is not being told of the potential danger of this product on the brain of the child that she's carrying. Now, what about the relationship between ingestion of NutraSweet and the ability of women to actually get pregnant, to conceive?
I've talked to some women who have had a very difficult time conceiving, have been actually unable to conceive, and after they got off of aspartame-containing products, they were finally able to get pregnant.
All right. Does it have any product on adolescents, on girls related to their, beginning to go through puberty and beginning to have their periods?
It can, from my research, it can have a great effect upon menstruation.
And of course, this is one of the things that attacks the endocrine system. It attacks various portions of the brain, and it's been said that many girls will go through an early menarche, in other words, beginning having periods at a much younger period, simply because of the toxic effects of this poison on their endocrine system and on the pineal gland. So, but the average American has no idea about this because, of course, tremendous amounts of money are spent to suppress this information in the controlled media. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Corey Brackett. Her video is Sweet Misery, which we carry here at Radio Liberty. That's Sweet Misery. We think it's an important video because you need to understand that Corey has talked to people all across America about what they have found, their relationship to aspartame. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your video? And, of course, you've talked to a number of people who have neurological problems referable to taking aspartame, haven't you?
Yes. Actually, some of them are on the video. There are a couple of people who have had brain tumors. That's probably the most extreme case that that I talked to. And that was quite disturbing, actually. But there have also been people, I've talked to people who have also been diagnosed with MS, and I've talked to this one poor man had diagnoses of lupus, fibromyalgia, the brain tumor, all sorts of things. He kept going to, I think he had mentioned that he went to 40 doctors in a year period, and they kept doing one test after another, and every test kept coming back negative.
And how did he finally figure out what was wrong with him then?
He finally, after a while, he got onto doorway.com, which is a pretty comprehensive website of information, DORWAY.com. And I think that's what he said. And then he did more research, and he found out, and he, again, listened to his body, and he found out that he seemed to be recovering from some of these things after he got off of aspartame. But he still had to have surgery to get his brain tumor removed.
Well, I think that one thing you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening audience, is that there is something called the Delaney Law, the Lady Clause, that making it illegal to give Americans any sort of a drug or product that is known to create tumors in animals. And aspartame is known to create brain tumors in animals. But despite that fact, why, of course, Donald Rumsfeld, put pressure on, got his man put into the FDA, got him to authorize, of course, the legalization of aspartame, and then, of course, took that man and gave him a plus job working for a public relations firm, where, of course, he was remained for many years, drawing a great salary, not for what he had done, but for poisoning and betraying the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett. Corey, why don't you tell us more of what you learned talking to people across America? What are people going to see if they do get your video?
We talk about the breakdown products of aspartame, the methanol, aspartic acid, and phenylalanine, and what exactly are the problems associated with those substances, wherein we talk with several doctors about that. And we also talk more in depth about how aspartame was approved and get a sense of what's going on around the world. It's interesting, a lot of people, when we first started doing this documentary, would look at us as if we were crazy. What could possibly be wrong with this substance? I don't understand. Why are you doing this? Can't you get a life, basically? And the more we got into it and the more people seem to come out of the woodwork and say, hey, you know, I understand that there's a problem here. What can I do? And I've talked to a lot of people who have since gotten to be very strong advocates for removing aspartame from people's diets. I mean, even one woman goes up to people in the supermarket and gives them information and literature whenever she sees somebody with a 12-pack of diet soda in their cart.
What about the danger of convulsions with aspartame, Corey?
From I think it was Dr. Walton I talked to about that, and he had mentioned that it alters the chemistry in the brain function. It alters the levels of norepinephrine and serotonin, which can also lower the seizure threshold in people. And so, which is one of the symptoms that was volunteered to the FDA, one of 92 symptoms. With seizures.
And this is a real problem. Certainly it actually produces seizures, and people have a tendency in that, along that line. And not only that, but it has the impact on the brain. And certainly pilots are told that they should not be flying planes, you know, if they've been drinking aspartame. Have you run into that admonition, that warning?
Yes, I've actually spoken with a pilot who personally witnessed a lot of problems with aspartame in the cockpit, and I think, I can't remember if he witnessed himself personally or if he heard within his airline of a pilot dying mid-flight as a result of with the diet soda in his hand.
And certainly, of course, the thing is that people do not hear these things, but it actually has an effect on your ability to think and think effectively. As it not only produces convulsions because it changes the chemistry, but it changes your ability to actually think. And, of course, you certainly do not want to have people doing the complex procedures, flying planes, things of that sort. When they're taking a drug, they can alter the perception. Now, what about tumors? Because I think this is really one of the more important things. What has been found out about the relationship between brain tumors and aspartame, and, of course, aspartame and other tumors that affect human beings?
Phenylalanine, is it breaks down further into diketopeperazine.
Oh, you hold that thought for just a moment as we bring our other stations back on board with us. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening, of course, is Corey Brackett. Her video is called Sweet Misery, and it's available if you'd like to know more. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. So if you have like to learn more about the video or the four tape sets we have on aspartame, or the book Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills by Dr. Blaylock, or Dr. Blaylock's other book of Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which has an extensive section on aspartame, or certainly Dr. Robert's book, if you want to really get into this in great detail. His book is called Aspartame Disease, The Forgotten Epidemic, and it's over 1,000 pages. It's got everything you ever wanted to know about aspartame and NutraSweet and were afraid to ask. Well, Corey, we were beginning to talk about the relationship between aspartame and actually creating tumors, because there's been studies that have been done in animals that show it's not just brain tumors, although brain tumors was a very real problem. But there were other tumors that were produced by aspartame. And again, if you're out there in the listening audience would like to talk to Corey, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Corey, what about the tumor-causing propensity of aspartame?
One of the secondary breakdown products of aspartame is diketopeperazine, which is a known brain tumor-causing agent, which, you know, right there should be a problem. And I should mention at this point that all three breakdown products enter the bloodstream, and from there they can flood into the blood-brain barrier, which is there supposedly to protect us from poisonous substances and toxic elements that enter our bloodstream. But there's a number of things that can occur to the blood-brain barrier that causes it to break down, from different conditions such as Parkinson's and lupus and other autoimmune disorders, to something as simple as extreme exercise and aging. All of these things can break it down, and prolonged exposure to an excitotoxin, which aspartame is, over a long period of time can cause such excitotoxins to pass through that blood-brain barrier. So that really isn't an issue for protection, unfortunately.
So what about the tumor-causing properties for other types of tumors? Have you run into that at all?
Yes. Dr. Russell Blaylock had mentioned that quite a bit, and I think that that's also mentioned in the Breslow report, which was a really devastating report that came out.
What is the Breslow report, and why should people get that?
Well, it talks a lot about some of the shenanigans that went on with some of these studies. There was one rat, for example, that was reported as dead at one certain week, and then alive at another week, and then finally dead again at a third week.
These were actually lab studies where they simply cooked the books. The rats were dying, and they would simply replace them with other rats. They did not want people to know that these rats that were consuming the aspartame were dying.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It just, a lot of these things were covered up. Different reports weren't mentioned to the FDA until after aspartame's approval. There was one doctor who had described it as the world's worst study, which is unfortunate that we didn't know about that.
And, of course, what has happened is they simply lied and lied and lied to keep the American people and keeping the FDA from knowing what was going on, because I think the FDA officials knew, but many of them had been terrorized into being quiet. Others had been bribed and bought off. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the way that the system really works today. And if you don't understand that, nobody's going to protect your health. You're going to have to look after your health for yourself and for your family and for your friends as well, people who don't listen to programs such as this. You've got to get the documentation. Now, you can go to Betty Martini's website. It's called doorway.com. That's DORWAY.com. Is that right, Corey?
Mm-hmm.
Doorway.com. Go up there, and you can pull down all sorts of fascinating material off of Betty's website. And, of course, copy that, get it to people. Get it to your doctor. He should be telling people that they shouldn't be taking these products. And you're going to have to educate them about fluoride. You're going to have to educate them about mercury. And you're going to have to educate them about NutraSweet and the aspartame. Because, of course, this is actually killing people and destroying the health of people all across America today. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Take a call from Eric from Compton. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Betty Betty Martini. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett, and of course we have Eric calling us from Compton, California. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks. You listen on the internet or shortwave?
Internet, Dr.
Okay, go ahead.
Ms. Brackett, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Eric?
I am fine, thank you. I have your video. I'm passing it around to as many people as I can.
Oh, great.
Right now, it's very well produced. I like it very much. Very factual. I walked over a friend's house, and his mother had a big bowl of that blue stuff in a jar, so it's over a friend's house right now. But it's time for me to pick it up and pass it around to someone else.
Well, thank you so much for doing that, Eric.
Get it out there as much as possible and get people aware.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, you know, I also ordered that Kinsey video, but something happened and the thing never showed up. Imagine that.
Now, wait a minute. We don't offer the Kinsey video, so you must have got that from somebody else.
Yeah, it was off the internet, but it never got here.
Who was offering it?
I got it off of a website. I forgot. I'm not familiar with the website now.
Well, we really should carry those videos because those are really so very important. The people have to understand, the wonderful work Judith Reisman has done. But we got a great 4-tape set on the Kinsey. If you like videos, if you want to get a video, but we got a great 4-tape set.
To watch it and to listen, so right. I try and get the video so I can pass it around.
Okay, fine.
Dr. Stan, also, I kind of owe you an apology. It's like every day I talk to my 29-year-old daughter.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, I heard on Dr. Stan said, and she just rolls her eyes at me. You know, I'm going to keep at her until I get her to listen, though.
Well, one of these days, maybe she will listen. That's all you can do. You can't make her listen. You can't make her believe. But one of these days, something you're going to say, she's going to realize is true. And then as she gets older, she'll realize that you're getting smarter and smarter.
Well, she's pretty bright. She'll come around sooner or later.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Sand.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that was Eric calling from Compton. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and there's some praise for Corey's video, and it is very well done, very professionally done, to give you interviews with people about this terrible product, this terrible poison. It's not one poison, ladies and gentlemen, it's three poisons. It's methanol, aspartic acid, and phenylalanine all mixed together. Every one of them is a poison. And, of course, they're giving it to people all across America with terrible, terrible effects. And we'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Corey Brackett, to talk about her video, Sweet Misery, and about aspartame. Well, Dr. Stan, I remember our telephone number. If you'd like to talk to Corey, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question about aspartame, it's something you'd like to know, why Corey certainly has been studying this. And, of course, there are a number of different types of tumors. I remember it involves the thyroid and certainly the bladder. And I remember the breast and one other. There are actually four tumors besides the brain tumors that are equated and developed in animals that were fed on aspartame. And that fact is being kept from American people, and yet today we see an epidemic of cancers all across America, and of course the specialists there and the government say, oh shucks, we have no idea why this is happening, and yet cancer is on the increase across America today. Well, let's go to Mary, who's calling from Covina. Hi, Mary, how are you doing?
Hi.
Have a question for Corey?
Yes, I do. I heard her mention that I can't say that word.
Phenylalanine. Don't feel bad. These are all tongue twisters.
Yeah. And I was shocked. Sometimes I chew Juicy Fruit gum, and it's not the sugar-free gum. And not too long ago, I looked and I saw that word. And I thought, now why in the world did they put that in the gum?
It's very difficult to find a gum that doesn't have it in it, unfortunately.
So is it harmful when it's by itself?
When it, was there a warning on the gum packet that for phenylketonuriates?
Yes.
Usually, in my experience, when that warning is on there, that's a sign that the substance actually contains aspartame.
Oh, my gosh.
So probably it's NutraSweet. That's what they put in there. That's what gives it sweet flavor. So that everybody who's chewing gum is getting their own regular dose of NutraSweet.
Oh, my gosh. I am just shocked because my husband had been saying something happened to Juicy Fruit gum. He said he used to be able to chew it for a long time and it would taste good, but it gets real weird, you know, just after a few hours of chewing it. But, boy, I am so thankful that I heard this because I thought it was a little strange to see it on there.
You're better off with sugar than you are with certainly anything with aspartame in it.
Oh, I know. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling, Mary.
Okay.
All right,
thanks,
fine.
Mary.
I think this is really a problem with many of the gums today. You're just going to have to look at it. And, of course, they will disguise this. They will call it all different sorts of things, just as they'll do the same thing with MSG. And that's why we recommend the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, because Russell, who's a personal friend in his book, has actually listed all the various names they call all these things to confuse you so you won't know that you're being poisoned.
Yes, Dr. Blaylock is very well-informed and very articulate and easy to read, actually, too. He explains things very well.
Well, I love to get Russell on the programs because I don't have to say much of anything. I can just sort of sit here, and I've learned so much from him. In fact, my latest newsletter dealing with fluoride, I've taken a great deal from Russell's book. In fact, I talked to Russell this last week, and he said, hey, that was a great newsletter you had. Of course, it was a great newsletter to come from his book, lots and lots of parts of it. Anyway, our guest is Corey Brackett, and we're talking about her video, Sweet Misery. We're talking about the fact that the American people are being poisoned. They're putting the NutraSweet. They've got in all sorts of Smucker's products, jellies and jams and things of that sort. They'd be better off to go back to sugar, but why do that? You're not going to do any damage with that. Well, now, certainly the MS, the multiple sclerosis, is not the only neurological problem. Would you like to tell our listeners about some of the other neurological problems we tend to associate, or knowledgeable people associate, with consuming NutraSweet products?
Yes, there's Parkinson's for one. There's multiple chemical sensitivities, which is associated with that, chronic fatigue syndrome. Lyme disease can sometimes be misdiagnosed that way. Lupus. There's all sorts of things. When you're talking about all the different products, by the way, that you had mentioned that contain aspartame, and sometimes we can get tricked. That was something that happened to me with Breathmint tabs for under the tongue. I was starting to improve. And I took some Breathmint tabs. I was given them by my mother-in-law thinking that they were fine. And I couldn't see at that point. I was still experiencing double vision. But I was off aspartame and I was starting to get better. And I took them again and immediately almost went back into the darkness is what, the way I like to describe it. And it took me a while to recover from that.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to Tim, who's calling from Fraser in Michigan. Hi, Tim. Where's Fraser?
Just north of Detroit.
Okay, fine. Well, then you must be listening to us on the Detroit station.
Yes.
Good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. I was wondering if your guest had any information on the new product, Splenda.
Tim, what I've heard about Splenda, there's a lot of controversy still out on that. But I have heard some things from some of the doctors that I've spoken to about aspartame where they talk about it as it being a chlorinated hydrocarbon that's similar to DDT, and which is, you know, I wouldn't want to ingest. Yeah. Basically, if it's artificial, I kind of steer clear of it, and especially when I see things like advertisements that say that it's made from sugar,
right,
which I've also heard differing stories about. And aspartame, when it first came on the market, was marketed in such a way that it was just like milk and bananas, which they had to pull that ad because it was false advertising. And when I see things like that happening today, I get quite leery.
And okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Tim. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And of course, our guest is Corey Brackett. We're talking about her video, Sweet Misery. And of course, this is an expose of a poison that has been given to the American people. And of course, it had been kept off the market. Do you remember how many years it was the FDA actually opposed, the FDA officials opposed aspartame before Donald Rumsfeld forced them to accept it?
According to G.D. Searle, it was discovered in 1965 by a researcher who accidentally got some of the substance on his finger and licked his finger accidentally while he was working on an ulcer drug. That's the story that they put forth, but it was approved in limited use in 1974, which was 9 years later, and it was approved for use in dry foods in 1981 and for carbonated beverages in 1983. So it took quite a long time.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Mary calling, and where's Mary coming from? Mary's from Buffalo, New York. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I forgot the question, but I'll give the comment, and maybe right, the question
fine.
Will come back. I just wanted to say that I had my son in to see the psychiatrist just to get him, you know, checked out for, you know, getting services as far as counseling. And I said, what do you think? What happens when you take Splenda? What does it do? And he wouldn't answer a thing. He said, yeah, what does it do? So that was enough for me. I thought, I'm not going to chance it, you know. But it is kind of scary how people are taking all this junk and have no idea. And it isn't everything. And, oh, now I remember what I was going to say. I read somewhere that the ambassador of Uganda says that they're throwing aspartame in the sugar. So I don't trust white sugar at all either. And I think that's probably why the incidence is going so high, because unless you get raw sugar or make your own, you know, get honey, that kind of stuff, you're getting it without knowing it.
Well, I can't comment on that. It could very well be true. I wouldn't put anything past them, Mary, because there really are evil and wicked people out there. And, you know, what they're doing with the genetically modified foods, you know, and they're lying to us about that is another thing. The animal studies show the animals were dying, and so they just quit doing the animal studies.
Right. If you could compare the calorie content of sugar, say, 20 years ago and what's now there, I think that would kind of maybe tell you the story, too.
Okay. Do you have any comment at all, Corey?
I haven't heard of that. I'm quite surprised to hear that information. Thank you, Mary.
All right, thank you.
I got you up on the web, so what I'll do when I find it, I'll tell you where I found it, where I read it, and send it to you.
All right. And, Corey, why don't you put out your website for our listeners who are not as smart as Mary and already found you on the web?
It's wonderful. I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
What is your website, Corey?
It's soundandfury.tv. And is all spelled out. It's all one word. It's .tv. Soundandfury.tv.
And that's because she makes television. So soundandfury.tv, and go to her website, and you'll, of course, get information there. And this is really a very, very complicated thing. We were talking about the neurological problems. Certainly, of course, the patients can have MS. They can certainly simulate anterior lateral sclerosis. Some of them can simulate a Parkinson's disease. And I'm sure some of the Parkinson's disease may well be related to this. Certainly, we're finding younger and younger people developing Parkinson's disease. Here, we never used to see Parkinson's disease, you know, except in the very old or people that had encephalitis, and now we're finding it in fairly young people. Have you run into that, Corey?
Yes, I spoke with, I think it was Dr. Blaylock, who had mentioned that there were people. Well, when did you last hear of somebody coming down with Parkinson's at the age of 30, which has happened before in recent years? And also, there were people that were coming into his office with questions of whether or not they had Alzheimer's when they were 26 years old. Things like that are happening, which if you stop to think back in time, those types of things did not happen before.
And, of course, this has to be something toxic, and what could it be? What sort of toxicity would be affecting the brains of people? Well, you remember Michael Fox, the actor, and he was the spokesman for Diet Pepsi, as I remember. And what happened to him? Why, he developed Parkinson's disease. And of course, he's really developing increasing incapacity. I just hope somebody has got to him and told him to quit drinking Diet Coke. And, of course, these products certainly can affect the brain. They're known to affect the brain. This is what Dr. Olney was finding when he was doing experiments on animals with MSG and aspartame before they were released for the public. And he did everything he could possible to keep them from being released. But, of course, they were released anyway. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. And of course, our guest today is Corey Brackett, and we're talking about the disastrous effects of these products. And one of the things, of course, is the effect on the endocrine system. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? My understanding, and Betty Martini had sent me some papers suggesting that actually NutraSweet decreased testosterone in males. Had you read anything about that?
Yes, I have heard of that. Be quite a problem too. It affects so many different symptoms. It has so many different symptoms that can deal with it that it's really, unfortunately, very varied and difficult to spot. One of the things that I did notice was that there can be an immediate reaction with people, which doesn't happen so much anymore because it's been out for so long. And then there can also be a chronic exposure to the substance, which can create even further problems. And that's the thing that's so insidious, is that it can have a slow buildup of toxins in your body that over the long run can cause obvious disease in people who are consuming it.
Well, we've got Mary on the line again from Buffalo, New York, and she's got a website for us. Hi, Mary. Did you have want to say something else?
Yes, I was at a Not Milk seminar. It's called NotMilk.com. Jewish man Robert Cohen was bar mitzvahed and had to read the part in Exodus where the calf, where they had worshipped the calf and then they were sent a plague. And for some reason, there's a similar hormone between the beef and the human that contributes tremendously to cancer.
Now, what is that hormone? Is that
I don't remember what it's called, but go to NotMilk.com because just about every disease in the book, you can link it to milk and cheese. Well, cheese is 10 times worse than milk.
Well, there is a product that's put out by cows that are getting this recombinant growth hormone.
Yeah, that's
growth
exactly
hormone.
Why he got into that, too.
And, of course, this is known as an insulin-like hormone, named like that. And that increases the possibility of prostate cancer 30%, incidence of breast cancer 70%, find me, seven times, three times and seven times. And, of course, nobody's telling the American people that, and everything is being done to conceal that from the American people. That's really what's so frightening. Is that the product he's thinking of, or is there another product?
It's basically staying away from the hormone-fed milk, or, you know, the cow, go to soy milk or some other type of milk. But I also found another website. It's Ask the Rabbi. It's RABBISPIVAK. And I read just a few questions and answers earlier, and he was also saying that they couldn't have cheese. Cheese was not allowed in the Jewish diet. There was something in the cheese. And you can read the questions and answers, and you'll see exactly what they're talking about.
Sure.
I can't recall what it was, but I know that now most cheeses have wood glue in them, so they are not digestible. And most people, 800 people die every year from asthmatic conditions, which they never link to the cheese pizza that they ate 15 hours earlier, but it's like a brick when it gets cold, and you know, it just doesn't digest.
Okay, well, thank you so very much for calling, Mary.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Mary calling again from Buffalo, and of course, our guest this evening is Corey Brackett, and her video is Sweet Misery, and I think you'll find it fascinating. If you'd like to know more about it, why, give us a call of 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we do have a 4-tape set on aspartame. We have several books, Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills by Dr. Russell Blaylock. Have you read that one, Corey?
Yes, yes, that one is, actually that was one of the things that really caused me to say, hey, there must be something going on here, I need to investigate this further. It's an excellent book.
It really is, and then of course we carry the Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which covers not simply aspartame, but mercury and fluoride and aspartame and vaccinations and everything you ever wanted to know about your health and didn't know where else to go to get the information. And of course then we carry Dr. Roberts' wonderful book, Aspartame Disease, the Ignored Epidemic. Of course, it's almost 1,000 pages, but if you really want to study this and want to know why you need to get that book, and then of course you can go to doorway.com. There's so much information out there. You're not going to get it from Rush Limbaugh. You're not going to get it from Bill O'Reilly. You're not going to get it from Dan Rather or from any of the other commentators. Of course, Dan's going to be leaving us. Tom Brokaw's already gone, but believe me, most of the people out there are not going to put this information out, because if they did, they'd lose their jobs. There is an agenda behind what's going on today, and believe me, it is not to improve the health of the American people. We'll be back in just a moment here with Corey, and we'll wrap up our program and right here at Radio Liberty. Well, our guest this evening has been Corey Brackett, and of course it's been a fascinating time. We had Corey on our 3 o'clock program, and of course we have the opportunity, the privilege of having her on our evening program as well. Corey, what are your parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners this evening?
The one thing that I've come through this experience learning, among some other things, some other factual things, but the one thing that I found be very valuable in the long run is to learn to listen to my body and to take an active role in my health care. There are so many people out there who want to be passive participants in their own health care, and I think it's really important to learn to ask questions, get a second opinion, really do research and find out. Don't just take information that's given to you blindly at face value, but at least try to discover as much as you can.
Well, I think that's really very, very wise advice. And the information is there. You can go to Betty Martini's website. You can go to the books we've talked about by Dr. Blaylock. Certainly you can go to Corey's website. You can get her video. We've got Kenny calling from Austin, Texas. Hi, Kenny. Do you have a quick question?
Yeah, I wasn't fully understanding what the last caller was saying about cheese and how that was linked through the Jewish diet and cancer.
I really can't tell you, except that there apparently is something, at least in the milk that comes from cows that receive this recombinant bovine growth hormone. It's an insulin-like hormone that actually increases the incidence of cancer. I'm not sure that's what she was saying, but I put that out. And of course, we'll be doing some talks later this week, actually going into these genetically modified foods.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to draw the line. I'm not sure exactly what she was trying to link with the Jewish diet. I just wanted to make sure that it's understood that there's nothing unkosher about cheese. I don't know what she was talking about.
I'm really not sure. Are you Jewish?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, I wasn't exactly sure what she was saying either, but I am concerned about these products that are coming from these cows that have the recombinant growth hormone, but I don't know anything about the kosher diet.
Yeah.
So
that's fine, and I understand.
I just
wouldn't want anybody to misunderstand.
Well, I happen to love pizza, so. God bless you. Thank you so much for calling, Kenny.
All right,
bye. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Kenny calling from Austin, and we're just about out of time. Corey, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. Always appreciate having you on here to share your experience and your knowledge with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. That was, of course, Corey Brackett and her video, Sweet Misery. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours every day, and 5 hours someplace in America on radio every weekday, and 5 hours on the internet, and 5 hours on satellite, 4 hours on shortwave, and we do hope that many of you will tell your friends and tell your neighbors about it, because they can hear us any place in the country if they've got a shortwave or they've got a computer. And it's up to you to get the information out. We can only talk to so many people, you know, with our limited resources. But with the internet and with shortwave, we can reach the world, which we are doing increasingly so. So it's exciting to find that more and more people are listening, but mainly that they're learning and they're beginning to question. And they never accept anything they hear and don't even accept what I say. If something I say, you want the documentation on it, you give us a call or write to us, and we'll try to get the documentation for it from a reliable source. So, you know, we're involved in the battle for the minds and the soul of the American people, and our job is to get the truth out, and we can't afford to be putting things out that are not valid, because you can say 99 things that are true and one that isn't true, and of course that's what they'll always remember about it. So I've been at this for 42 years, and what a privilege it is to be able to speak to people across America, but quite frankly I do it because there are people who believe in what we're doing, and there are people who are helping us. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, pardon me, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, you can get it off the internet or give us a call at that 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know about economics, our September or our October newsletters. If you want to understand what's happening, how they're poisoning us with water fluoridation, you'll want our November newsletter. And, of course, go back in the newsletters at RadioLiberty.com. That's www.RadioLiberty.com. You'll find all sorts of great information there. If you live in an area where water is fluoridated, you need to get the water out, or the fluoride out of the water. And let me suggest the Big Berkey products, which we do carry, either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, because you can put on post filters, and they will take the fluoride out of the water, the vast majority of it. So, it's the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light products, and you can go to our website and look them up, or you can certainly give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will want to get the video Megiddo series, the Megiddo 1, which, of course, gives the biblical prophecies as laid out in Daniel and then brings them up to what's going on in the world today. That's 2 hours and 15 minutes, very, very professionally done. Megiddo 2 is the story of what's going on in the world from Genesis right up to today, and gets into the New Age movement, gets into the Georgia Guidestones and the plan to kill off over 90% of the world's population. And actually, that's the part that I do, and not talking about Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who wrote The Secret Doctrine, which actually, of course, was what energized Adolf Hitler, and what energized certainly Margaret Sanger and Thomas Edison and Arthur Conan Doyle and certainly Robert Mueller, who for so many years was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. And of course, if you don't understand Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and The Secret Doctrine, you really can't understand what's going on today. I cover so much of that in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, but Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2 videos, and then, of course, the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. We recommend you get them, you show them to your children, you watch them yourself, you'll be fascinated by it, and help us get out the truth about the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. Please pray for America, pray for revival, and pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until Thursday, when we'll be back again, may the Lord be with you.